note on page 138.
Yeah, the note on page where? 137. That big note. Let's just review the lesson inside and go to the end, and then we'll see a couple of notes. So on page 137, we already did that. Let's just go quickly and finish up this Torah from Yisrael Tchiyoso from Rav Kook. Zo ha'gadol shel Torah shebaal peh. We did this list. We just do chazar a little bit for a minute. So Rav Kook writes, Zo ha'gadol shel Torah shebaal peh. This is the greatness of Torah shebaal peh. She'onda la hashgir. As chaye ha'ilam b'lay muvanim b'uma lohaitzim milim shel tzedukim. Now remember what we were learning last week, that tzedukim didn't believe in Torah shebaal peh. They didn't believe in Torah shebaal peh. Rav Kook explains that it means that they believed in Hashem, but they didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chai Olamim. Because it's not only one world, there are two worlds. There's this world and there's the other world. And the other world is not something just that's going to be at some time in the future. The other world is now. And belief in Chai Olamim means, in that connection that we've been talking about, between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, every single moment that we're learning about in the Baal Shem Tov, and we're learning about also in the Yerushalmi, this chibur of the two worlds, the connection of both worlds. And the danger of the tzedukim is something that was very much connected to that poison of Christianity that at that time was beginning to become stronger and stronger, that made a separation between this world and the other world, between those two worlds. And all that we've been talking about the past few weeks, this was the problem with the tzedukim. So Rav Avinier is explaining, let's just review, Shahiyu Anoshim Chomraniyim, Asher Kovar B'chol Inyoni HaKdusha V'Netzach Shalom Hava, Mitar Kach Lehiminu B'Tor Shabal Peh. They didn't believe in this Inyon of Olam Hava. The Tzedukim didn't believe in Torah Shabal Peh. The Sugya of Olam Hava is something which is not explained in Torah Shabachsav, as everybody knows. When you learn Tanakh, you don't see Olam Hava in Tanakh. There are Ramazim, there are hints of Olam Hava in Tanakh, but when you learn Tanakh, you can learn the whole Tanakh and you would only think there's one world. Clearly. You would think there's only one world. If you're just a person who learns Tanakh, you would only see one world. So the Tzedukim, that's how they learned. They learned there was one world. That's how they learned Tanakh. They learned Tanakh. They didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So there's only one world. So if there's only one world, then you got to do the best you can in that world. You know, you got to make the most of that world. So the Tzedukim were very chumraniyim, right? They were very, very invested in this world and became lost in money and in all different kinds of taivas, mama taivas, nashim, b'chul, all different taivas. And I was explaining last week that at that same time, there was another group, the Isiyim, who they separated themselves entirely from this world. So they were completely habadik, fasting and not getting married. And Oysa Ish seems to be to have a shaykhus to have chevr. So what was happening was that the worlds were being split. There were Olam Habadika Jews. They wanted only Olam Haba. This world is terrible. This world is evil. And they wanted only to be Olam Habadik. And then you had the Tzedukim, that they only wanted to be Olam Hazadik. They wanted to be this world. Now, there are a number of halachas in Torah Shebaal Peh, a number of things that we do, lo haitzi miliban shel tzedukim. In other words, in halacha, keneged the tzedukim, to uproot from Klal Yisrael that mistaken way of thinking, that way of the tzedukim, that separates between those two worlds, to uproot that. So Rav Avinier was explaining, "Shai Yanoshim Chomrani, Meshach Kofar B'Chol Nyanei Makdush V'Netzach Shalom Haba Mitoch Kach LaHeminu B'Torah Shabbat Peh V'Vadish LaRo B'Zeh Metzias Alukus Shemimis El Chol Yosek Kovish Shachukim Ma'isim Shehum Soi Deher Abonim." So the Tzedukim, since they didn't believe in this connection, they assumed that human beings are human beings, the rabbis are human beings, and the rabbis came up with all kinds of clever things to try to keep us in line. They just came up with some clever laws. It has nothing to do. A human being can't have that connection to Shemayim. It can't be that some rabbi, he was a contemporary of these people, that what he was saying was the Dvar Hashem, that a human being in this physical world could be saying Divrei Elokim Chayim. Can't be. That happened. And as they said, it happened. Moshe Rabbeinu came down. So, Nigmar. The whole thing is finished. So it can't be that there's some Tana, that there's some rabbi, there's some chacham, that he's saying Divrei Elokim Chayim. So what is he saying? He's saying he's making up stuff. Because they're very smart people, and they're looking in the psukim, and they're coming out with all kinds of stuff that they want in order to make sure the Jews behave. So, and to embellish Yiddishkeit. But it can't be that there's a connection between heaven and earth. So the tzedukim were earthbound, therefore they looked at all the rabbanim as being people who are just like them. So who's this rabbi to make up some kind of a law like this? Who is he? He's smart. It's a Mercedes, but don't tell me that there's something that came to you from God. Don't tell me there's some sort of divine inspiration, this Ruach HaKodesh, that there's some connection to Shammai. You're just like me, you're a boss of Adam, you're no different than me, and you made up laws. So therefore they were kaifer in the whole inyan of Olam Haba. And they were kaifer in the whole inyan of Torah Shabbat. It's the same kfir, you understand that? It's the same kfir. It's a kfir that says that there's only this world, and there's no connection between this and this world and the other world. It's done. So this was a terrible, terrible kfir that took root in Am Yisrael. It was very, very damaging to Am Yisrael. And Rav Kook writes, "Shehis lahavusam haloumis." Now these people were had a great love for Am Yisrael. They had a great love for Am Yisrael, and they were people who were on fire with leumius. With leumius, Islavus leumius means that there was a fire of making this world better. Remember, since the tzedukim only believed in this world, so then the tachlis is to make this world as comfortable as possible, to make this world as good as possible. And the matzav of the Jewish people in Galus is bad. It's uncomfortable. So the tzedukim were the fathers of secular Zionism. That's what Rav Kook was saying. Of Zionism without God. Of the inyan of having a place and being comfortable and being your own balabatim, but without the Rabbanu Shlomo. So Rav Avinir explains, "Shalavusam halumus." Those are Rav Kook's words. Then Rav Avinir explains, "Shalat tzedukim shomnam mos v'nafshom avur eretz Yisrael." The tzedukim were mos v'nafshom eretz Yisrael. They loved eretz Yisrael and they loved Am Yisrael. They were good people. They're not bad people. Just like the secular Zionists were not good people. They're good people. They're good people. They loved Jews. They loved Am Yisrael. They loved eretz Yisrael. They're good people. El shahay zezula umius chumranis. It was physical nationalism. It was patriotism. It was a nationalism without God. Chilonis v'yevesha. Chilonit and yevesha. Secular and dry. Secular and dry. These are Rav Avinir's words. Hatefeses ach v'rak yis atzad achitzoni hamaisi. That only focused on the chitzonius of redemption, and the chitzonius of nationalism. Ve'enem evina shekiyum shel ha'uma achasi im kedushas haTorah. Since their entire mitzvah is this world, they couldn't see that in a rock, in a stone, in a tree, that there's something heavenly. That wasn't their Isaac. They couldn't see that Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people. So, you know, there's just a place for Jews to be safe and to be at home, to be with each other, not to be among the nations where we have aggravation. So to be home. That's all they could see in it. They couldn't see. They didn't see that the stones, the trees, the streets are Himmeldik. They didn't see that there's something else going on over here. Because to them there's only one world. There's no Olam Vad Olam. There's no Chai Olamim, the life of both worlds. There's only one world. There's one world. Dam salula hevish shel tevin. Again, we saw these words. We're just reviewing. Dam, because it's very important. Big yisod. Dam salula hevish shel tevin. Shnist halava v'da'acha v'einena. So it couldn't last. it left over some dangerous shirayim, the whole inyan of the tzedukim. It did. But as a great movement, as a powerful movement, it couldn't last. Such nationalism without God, when it comes to Jews, doesn't work. It doesn't last. It's a fire, but it fizzles out. It fizzles out. It doesn't work. We see that in the new generation of Israelis now and secular Jews, that the union of Zionism is kilo, there's nothing there. You can go, if you don't believe me, just go to North Woodmere and you can talk Hebrew in North Woodmere. The Israelis have no shaykhs bechlal. Wonderful Jews. But no shaykhs bechlal to the union of Mesiris Nefesh Reitzisrael at this point in the life. I'm not saying that they didn't. Plenty of them that were fighting in wars, and they're much more heroic than people like us, there's no question. But that chush, that regish of Ahavis Yisrael that was in the earlier generation of the Chalutzim, it's very, very much missing now. It's very, very much missing. It doesn't last. It's without Kedusha. It's without holiness. It doesn't have, like doesn't, when they shalok kara b'shem Hashem. Hashem is eternal. When that which is filled with Hashem, so then it's forever. If something is without the Shem Hashem, it could be a big fire, it could be very exciting. It comes and it goes. L'chein l'uma satzdukim shakafu b'olam haba tiknu chacham, therefore, to uproot this kfir, this heresy of the tzdukim, one of the things that the chacham were misakein, la'afuke, the tzdukim, against the tzdukim, one of the things that they were misakein was lemar what? Baruch Hu es Hashem Elokei Yisrael. I hope you have that page. Yeah? Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. So they were misakin to say, Baruch Hu es Hashem Elokei Yisrael, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Which you have in some of our tefillahs also. Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Two worlds. Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. So Rav Avner explains, Kfi she'emes ha'mishneh in Brachas, Kol chais mei Brachas shahay b'mikdash ha'yayimrim, Baruch Hu Hashem min ha'olam, that they, when they would finish the bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, they would say, Baruch Atah Hashem min ha'olam. V'shekilkul ha'minim, once this kilkul, this damage of the minim, which means that tzdukim, the Christians and so on, this was getting stronger and stronger. V'amru ein olam el echad. They said, what do you mean? There's only one world. The minim, which some say that the word min is the Isis Mikat Yeshu Notzri, the sect of Yeshu of Isis, that once they became strong, they were saying, "Ein olam elachad." There's only one world. Claim "Ein olam elazeh." Let's talk him. "Ein olam elazeh." So his skin is she'aymerim baruch to Hashem and ha'olam va'ad ha'olam. So the chacham were mesakin that the bracha, the chesim of the bracha, the mesamikdash should be baruch to Hashem min ha'olam va'ad ha'olam. There's not one world; there are two worlds. Lema she'shnei olam is yesh lohaytzim ilayv at stukim ha'kayfim etchias ha'meisa. Rashi explains the stukim only believed in one world. They didn't believe, therefore, in Tchias HaMeisa. So therefore, the Chacham were misakin, that it's not enough to say, Min ha'olam, you have to say, Min ha'olam va'ad ha'olam, that there are two worlds. B'zeh to'a tztukim, k'asher choshu sh'olam haba, v'olam hazeh, tzarim heim zeh lazeh. Because the tztukim saw, and this is Christianity, Christianity just took this, Christianity believes in another world. But the other world and this world are two that are not connected. There's no Gesher, Kesher. They're two separate worlds. So this is a mistake that they made. That what? That Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, Tzarim Heim Zeh Lazeh. That this world and the next world are at odds with each other. That's what we were talking about this morning when we were learning the Torah of Baal Shem. That the two worlds, and Gashmias and Ruchnis and so on, are at odds with each other. They're not mashlim each other. They're not machazik each other. They're not each one giving life to the other. They're at odds with each other. And that's what we were talking about. Rav Kook was explaining. That's what we see that by Christianity, what happened was that you have all these, you have these men of the ladies of the church, and you have the in Rome, and you have the Pope, and the Indian there is that not to get married, not to be in this world at all, kilo, living in the other world, or to go off to a convent, to a monastery, and so on. On the other hand, the Stam, the Hamoinam, they're living it up in this world. They're two different Rishuyas. There's different Rishuyas. They're two different Rishuyas. So that's an adaptation of the Tzedukim. Also, the Christians, the early church fathers, had a sinus oilam for Torah Shavalpa. Those of you who are familiar with Jewish history know that during the Middle Ages, one of the popular pastimes of the church was to burn the Gemara, right? So what do they have in it? What bothers them? Bavabasa, Bavakamila. What does it bother? Avi Pesachim, they have a problem. So it was under the pretense that there are inyanim in the Gemara that cast Eisa Ish in bad light, and so okay, so the Jews had to take those parts out, not to get into trouble with them. But they had a sinus oilam for Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh, they say, we also have Torah Shabbat. We also believe Torah Shabbat Peh. But Torah Shabbat Peh, they had to find every copy, to burn every single copy. That was from the early church fathers and then through the Middle Ages. A sinus oilam for Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, what is it about Torah Shabbat Peh that gets them all worked up? What is it about Torah Shabbat Peh? Halacha makes them crazy. So that it makes them halacha. They say that the God of the Jews is such a big machmir, and the God of the Jews is cruel and is strict. And he's crazy dikdukim. That's the God of the Jews. But the God of our God, the God of Eisa Yishuv, the God of Yishuv, he is a loving, compassionate v'chulu. They had to get rid of Torah Shabbat Peh. The worst thing for a galach was Torah Shabbat Peh. The worst thing was Torah Shabbat Peh. The worst thing for Eisa Ish was the authority of the Prushim of the Chachamim. It was the worst thing was Torah Shabbat Peh and the Chachamim. They have nothing, no problem with Tanakh, they have no problem with biblical Jews. There's no problem. But if you're a Torah Shabbat Peh, if you're a halacha person, if you believe in halacha, you believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, then by the Christians, in the fire. The Gemara and the Jews, throw them into the fire. And that continued on through history until it came to the Milchama. It's the same thing. Everybody in the fire, the swarm. The Nazis also had to burn all our books. So everything, that inyan has to be destroyed. That inyan of Torah, of Kedushas HaTorah, that human beings in this world are able to connect to Chochma El Yonatach, to that Chochma El Yonav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the infinite. That there's a connection min ha'olam va'an ha'olam, Torah Shabbat Chassav and Torah Shabbat Peh, that you don't understand one word of what you're saying in Torah Shabbat Chassav, unless you know Torah Shabbat Peh. You don't understand what you're saying. You don't understand what it means. And then when it says in the Torah, Tatofas Benenech is telling you, get up in the morning and put on tefillin. You don't go on Sunday and play the organ and close your eyes and think about, get to shul and put on tefillin. Get to shul and put on tefillin. No, you got to burn that. That's bad stuff. So the covenant in the Torah doesn't. The covenant in Torah Shvachsav doesn't mean anymore. Doesn't mean anymore that you have to get a moil, right? That hurts. Plus, you have to pay a couple $100, and then you have to have it catered. So that hurts. So instead, we have a thing that's called the covenant. It's the covenant. What does it mean, a covenant? What's it machayev you? What does it mean, a covenant? So they have all kinds of drushes that Galachim give. I always wonder what they dashing about. I never heard a drush in my life, but I wonder, what are they dashing so much? I don't know what they dashing so much. I don't know. But they dashing. And the drush is something about there being, a covenant. Whatever that covenant means, it's a mechai because it doesn't make you get up and put on film. It doesn't mean, you don't have to get, I'm mechai, I'm saying it sarcastically. It means you don't have to have a bris. You don't have to take off from work on Saturday. So there's a covenant. What's a mechayev covenant? It's a mechayev, a certain faith, a belief. And they took it away from God. It's a faith for Eisa Ish, to believe in Him. But so this was the Gilgal of the Inyan of the Tzduki and the Min, to make a separation between those two worlds. Mimela, they had to do away with Torah Shabbat Peh. Because what the whole Inyan of Torah Shabbat Peh, as we're going to learn in that note, the whole Inyan of Torah Shabbat Peh is every single thing in this world, every single second in this world, every single take a piece of food that you take into your mouth, it's all a lakus. And therefore, in order to know how to eat, in order to know how to conduct business, in order to know how to live in a covenant with Hashem, a HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed through the Chachmei Yisrael, through the Chachmei Hadaris, his rots and his will. That means that this world is never ever without the other world. That's unbearable. That's like a very heavy thing. That this world is never without the other world. That doesn't work for like some peasant in Poland, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't work for the Pope either. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
So how do we learn b'chayi olam?
So then you learn. You look in the Torah. If you look in the Torah explains that Chayolam is Torah Shabbat Peh. Chayolam is Torah Shabbat Peh, not Abba Socheinu. That eternal life you have implanted within us, and eternal life means Torah Shabbat Peh. Chayolam Abba Socheinu. That's exactly what it means. Chayolam means how to live in this world. You implanted within us. You gave us the ability through our learning and our Ruach and the Ruach HaKadosh of the Chacham, you gave us the ability to know how to live an eternal life in this world. How to live eternally in this world. But every moment is a moment of Nitzchias, of Nitzchias. Every single second is a Nitzchias. That's how I explained to you many times what the Ishbitza says, the Beis Yaakov says, how do you define Kedusha, right? So how does the Pope define Kedusha? What does he say about Kedusha? If we would have a chance, I would want to Swiss. But let's say somebody would talk to the Pope and say, whatever they call him, your Divine Majesty or something. How do you define holiness? What's holiness? What's holiness? What is holiness? I don't know what they say. I'm interested to hear. Not enough that I would ever look it up or anything, but what is holiness? What's holiness? And there are many of their scholars, there are many of their Choshuva people that struggle with that. What is, one of them is a famous one, he wrote a whole book called Das Heilige on holiness. What is that? What is holiness? What is it? So, all kinds of drashas, again, what that means. So the Beis Yaakov says that the difference between a Jew and a guy, it's the Ikka Nakud that is machalik than the Jew and a guy. Is that sugya of Dabba Kalas yourself, about Kadosh and Tiyah, what's Kedusha? So, the way that we were taught, learning just Pshat, learning Rashi and Ramban, the way that we were taught, which of course is true, but that's only the outer layer, the way that we were taught is to be separate from bad things, right? To be separate from bad things. Prushim and Harayas, to be separate from things that, even things that you're allowed, but to make yourself into somebody that's higher and more elevated. So the Beis Yaakov says, Kedusha is a hepech shel dvaram shel mabakach. Kedusha means when you live and you believe that there's no such thing in my life or in the world that's a dvar shel mabakach, that's insignificant, that's inconsequential, that's not important, there's no such thing. And he says, the goyim are borchim, they run away from... He says, they're also afraid of God. And when you're afraid of something, you run away. But a Jew is afraid of God, and he looks at him in the face and says, tell me what to do. A goy runs away. He's also afraid of God. He's barer. When you're afraid, you run away. Running away from the consequences of that reality that this world is filled with God. Because that means... that means that I'm messing things up big time. So, for us it means Torah Shabbat Peh. And Torah Shabbat Peh tells us every single second of your life what to do and how to live. Because it's telling you that you're drinking a cup of water is not a davar shel mabakach, it's a davar chashuv ma'od. It's not a davar shel mabakach. Kedusha is when you believe that everything is important. When you believe that everything is eternal. When you believe that everything that's physical is connected to something that's higher, that's called Kedusha. That is very heavy. That's very hard to live like that. So the Goyim, he says, they also have Yiras Elokim, like it says in Sefer Daniel. They also have Yiras Elokim, but it's Elohad Elohi. They're afraid of God, so what they do is they leave God in Shemayim, and they loift, run away. run away from God. But he says, only a Jew, he says, looks at Hashem, panim, el panim. Only a Jew has the courage to face God and to say, hineni, echmendu, tell me what it is that I need to do. I'm not running away from you. I'm afraid of you, but I'm in it with you. I'm here. I'm afraid of you. I'm terrified. Aval ani lo boreach mimcha. I'm not running away from you. I'm here with you. And here with you means Tarish Vapeh. Here with you means here with you right now. Here with you right now. Maybe someone can call the Pope and ask him back what it means. If anybody wants to volunteer, that would be an interesting assignment. Call the Pope and ask him, what is it? What do you think of when you say the word holy? Holy, holy, holy. God, whatever, the chariots, whatever they say. What is it? What are you thinking? What are you thinking when you say that word holy? I'm afraid I don't even want to say, but you can ask us a lot of Jews that. What do you mean when you say the word holy? And it also might mean to some Jews it means something separate, something different. It's just the opposite. Holiness means I'm with you, mamish. It's just the opposite. The church were the ones that they made this whole tziur of holiness as being something where you're disconnected, where you're detached. So then you have the galach, you have the sister, the galach in a monastery, in a convent someplace. Detached, separated. We say kodesh, 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 Hashem Tzivah Kodesh. Then what do we say? Meloi chol ha'aretz kevayda. Meloi chol ha'aretz kevayda. Meloi chol ha'aretz means Tarei Shabbat Peh. Because when you learn Tarei Shabbat Chsav, you don't see Meloi chol ha'aretz in Tarei Shabbat Chsav. And Tarei Shabbat Peh is Meloi chol ha'aretz. It means how do I get up in the morning? How do I tie my shoe? That's Meloi chol ha'aretz. It means Meloi chol ha'aretz. The whole world is Meloi chol ha'aretz kevayda mamish. That's Tarei Shabbat Peh. Chaya olam nota b'socheinu mamish. That the world has to burn those books. They burn those books. They got to get rid of the Talmud. They got to get rid of the Gemara. Get rid of the Gemara. Because the Gemara tells us, the Gemara says, this had to be godly in this world and how not to run away. How when you're eating, you're facing God. When you're eating, you're facing God. When a husband and wife are together, you'll forgive me for being, you're facing God. So make sure you behave. That's very uncomfortable for the world. Do you understand that? Because the world is trying to be on vacation. So they created. So you have, when you have a place where you're able to go, where you go on Sunday, and then the rest of the week you're off. That's the tachlis. That's the tachlis. But a Jew knows that every single moment of life is not a davar shama bekach. It's choshev. Why is it choshev? Because I'm in this act of eating, when I'm at work, everything is panim el panim. I'm looking at this client of mine, and I'm thinking that I could do a little shtick with him or something with money. I have to know that when I'm sitting with this client, I'm sitting with a customer, I have to feel and recognize I'm panim el panim tasha. That does not have to be something where you close your eyes and start crying and take out your guitar. What it means is you need to take out your Shulchan Aruch. You need to take out the Shulchan Aruch. You need to take out the Gemara. The Gemara says, what do you think you're doing? You're not allowed to do that. You're overcharging. You take out the Gemara, not your guitar. The Gemara says you're overcharging. You've got to be careful. What do you think you're doing with this customer? That's the Gemara. That's not that's not popular, you understand? That's very hard. So therefore, the Ishbitzer says that the world of mamish boreach mimenu. They're afraid of God, and they run away from him. But a Jew stands courageous and strong, and he says, "L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Imcha Itcha Mamish, I'm with you. Give me my assignment. What's my assignment? Give me my papers. What do I do today? Where do I go today? I'm here at work. What do I say to this guy?" So Hashem Isbo says, "Look in Chayshu Mishpat, and you look in the Halacha, learn a Blat Gemara, and look in Shulchan Aruch, and it tells you. What do you say to this guy? You tell him how. You tell him honest and erlich, and you deal with him like a Jew should deal with a person." Where do you find that? You find that in Tarei Shabbat Peh. Tarei Shabbat Peh tells you how to face God every moment of your life. That means that there are two worlds. That this world is every single second. The other world is every single second in this world. And that's that Stukim couldn't. They couldn't deal with that, and the world can't deal with that. The Christians can't deal with that. So the Chacham were misakin that to say the words min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. To remember that Baruch Hashem is Chai Olamim. is Chai Olamim. This was their mistake. So in their eyes, the two worlds are at odds with each other. They don't get along with each other. Therefore, they made choices. Some of them went completely into Olam Haba, like into the other world. That's a spiritual thing. And in that spiritual realm, you don't have to put on tefillin either, by the way, right? Because in that spiritual world, there's nothing physical, so you just sit there and you be nanim ziv hashchina, which I suspect that's what the galach in the Vatican would tell you, that he's nanim ziv hashchina, that kedusha means to be nanim ziv hashchina. I mean, he probably says something along those lines, that it means you sit at Hashem Rishem and nanim ziv hashchina. I'm sitting and I'm enjoying I'm basking in the light of God. Let's check if he says that. I'm basking in the light of God. So you go away. That means you're completely in the olam haba. And what does it mean? So he says, well, if I'm basking in the light of God, I can't get married. I can't bask in the light of God with my wife. That's already something physical. That means we're doing something disgusting. To have a kid is disgusting. That type of relationship is filthy. It's disgusting. So therefore, the Galach says that I'm basking in the radiance and the beauty of God's presence and so on. So you imagine this. So he's saying a drush like that. And the poyer, the peasant, is sitting in church and he's listening to this drush. What does he make from such a drush? What's the maskana of such a drush? This maskana is that the Pope is a kaddish. Aber ich bin was? I don't want to say, I shtick nothing. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. My life is nothing. And I'm doomed and damned. My life is nothing. What do I do in my life? I milk cows. What's my life? My life is nothing. That's why I was explaining this morning. We're learning the Kamarna, that unfortunately there are many Jews that start to think like this too. That's the danger of the tztukim, that machshava of a person. You have a Jew that he's driving a truck, he's milking a cow, and he thinks, what's my life? My life is nothing. My life is nothing. What am I doing? I'm doing nothing. I spend my whole life, I'm an accountant. What am I doing? I'm doing nothing. Which is the modern version of milking cows. I'm doing nothing. What am I doing? I'm doing nothing with my life. I'm sitting here with a computer, numbers, and some Andre mentions Geld. You know, how much money this guy owes and how much he doesn't know. This is my whole life. I'm doing, my life is nothing. And you see that there are even rabbis that talk this way. That if you go to work, your life is nothing. This is where it comes from. Such a machshava, it comes from not a place of true kedusha. It's not. Your life is not nothing. What do you mean? You're sitting there, pun with a bari olam. What do you mean? Your life is nothing. What is nothing? So you have now. Also, they have Jews that they hear a drush and they walk away from the drush feeling like nothing. Feeling like nothing. You have a kid who goes to school, and if that kid is hearing drush after drush that tells him that if he doesn't stay learning for the next 10 years, he's nothing. And the sweet little girl in seminary, she hears some mother getting up and telling you that if you marry somebody that's not staying and learning for 20 years, you have nothing. Your life is nothing. It's a chiddush. Your life is nothing. Nothing. Okay, maybe you'll learn an hour, but your life is nothing. If you'd really be a Jew, it wouldn't be like that. Is that Torah Tzedukah? It's a terrible toast. It's a terrible, terrible toast. A terrible mistake. That the two worlds are not shaykhs to this. V'chein dochus amnezeh. V'l'onu aymim shechayi haruach shalonu. Heim shemechayim es chayim alumim. So when it comes to our nationalism, our love for Eretz Yisrael, it's not stam patriotism. It's not stam for Jews to have their own place, like the secular Zionists were saying. No, Eretz Yisrael is Chayil Omnat Vasechena. Eretz Yisrael is what Rabbi Yehuda Levi was saying. It's the breath of our oxygen that gives us the ability to breathe Eretz Yisrael, to be Jews. It's not something which is a stam, a place for Jews to hide from Goyim, from our enemies. People, that's not Eretz Yisrael. There's no separation between between nationalism and between love of Eretz Yisrael, nationalism is not Jewish, but love of Eretz Yisrael and Yiddishkeit. Love of Eretz Yisrael is mechaya the union of Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is mechaya Eretz Yisrael. What Eretz Yisrael is and what Eretz Yisrael means to a Jew. It's not just a physical place. Umiyasoid alam azeh, Rav Kook says, Shel kishur alam habal alam azeh, yibonav yikainan gam achshav. And from this yisod, from this way of thinking, from this truth, there will be built and established now. So Rav Nisa Gomer Tomid, oimek hachayim al umim b'Yisrael, the deep, deep national life of the Jewish people. V'yizgadol binyan ha'aretz, and the building of the land is going to become increased and great, to build up Eretz Yisrael. Not as a nationalist, as a Zionist, as a secular person, but as, I mean, when I say Zionist, I mean a secular Zionist. Not as a secular person, but as a Yid, as a Jew. V'chol ha'imutzim, and all of the efforts that I made, ha'klolium, that I made to take care of the Jewish people, and so on, ha'holchim l'umas ha'tchia. So he explains, Rav Nir, kol ha'holchim ha'artzim, ha'mevi'im l'tchia, so all the steps that are being taken that to build the nation physically, economically, and so on. All of the things that are being done to build up the Jewish people in our land. Yikablus nishmosam. It's not just a guf, it's a neshama and a guf. It's two worlds. There's the guf, there's the neshama. The two worlds, min olam v'ad olam. B'zach imutz v'chizuk chai olam. To build the land, is not an inyan of investing just in this world. It's chai olam amish. Did you see there was a picture going around yesterday that my son Ushi sent me of that tzaddik that we were talking about, Yom Kippur, the Yablana, I don't know how you pronounce it, you know, that tzaddik that he, for many years he was away, he went there to sell, right? You know, yeah. Did you see this picture that was going around yesterday?
No.
Oh, the mamash, a beautiful picture of him and a little bit before he died. This mamash is something beautiful. I have it on my desk, I'll show it to you. There's a picture of the Yablana. I wrote back to Ushi. I said, you know what this person's eyes, what they saw. He came to work Eretz Yisrael. You know, he came to the land. He went through that whole period of his life that there was that detachment, that separation. And then at the end of his life, there's a picture of him standing there, like by his piece of land over there in Kfar Hasidim, standing there, and you know, back to the way he was when he was younger, and just looking out and standing there. There's something about it that's just very, very beautiful. That's Reb Shaila. We're learning from Eretz Chayef. It's Reb Shaila. You see the picture of him with a cowboy, like a cowboy hat on a horse on a farm in Eretz Yisrael. Reb Shaila Shapir, the Pizetz, and his brother. It's not two separate worlds. That the farmer is a Jew that's not religious, and the rabbi is the one that sits in the. Here you have this Reb Shaila Shapira, that they called him the Admor HaChalutz, right? The pioneer rabbi. He's a Chassidish Rebbe, and he's on a horse in Eretz Yisrael, whatever, in the fields in Eretz Yisrael. It's not two different separate worlds. It's one world. And then comes Shabbos, and that same tzaddik, the Reb Shaila, the same tzaddik that during the week he was working on the land, the same tzaddik on Shabbos, he's fearing a tish Friday night, wearing a bekesha, wearing a shtreimel, and he's the grandson of the Kuzhin Samagi, you understand? And he's having a tish Friday night. It's not a stira. It's not a stira. There's a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, Pakshan. I don't know if you heard of him. Pakshan is a tzaddik. He's a descendant of the Holy Visioner. He's a mishpach with vision. His father was an ish kaddish. He didn't have a chassidus, but he had a lot of Jews that came to him. And the Rebbe now is a former colonel in the Israeli army in Tzal. He's a retired colonel from Tzal. And he during the week he would wear his army uniform. And on Shabbos he's fearing tish with he's an Israeli. I never met him, but I was going with somebody when I was there a couple of weeks ago. I was in Yerushalayim, so one of the chevre, we're going together. We were talking about this. Kovi Fleischman was telling me he went there. And a lot of Yidden that go to this tzaddik now. He's a retired colonel or even maybe a general, I'm not sure. Friedman from the Rishner. And he has a Bissam Medrash. I think maybe in Tel Aviv, I'm not sure. I don't know. Where the Bissam Medrash. No, maybe it's in Gilo in Yerushalayim, I think. And he is a rabbi. I'm not saying that's for every rabbi to be such a thing. That's not And that in order to be a rebbe, you have to also be. That's of course ridiculous. What I'm saying is, it's not a steer. It doesn't mean you have to be like this. You have to be like that. But it's not a steer. It's not a steer. Min ha'olam v'ana ha'olam. It's not a steer. And when you make it into a steer b'shita, then you're going to a dangerous place. This place that Rav Kook is talking about. It's a dangerous place. And we see, Rav Kook says that slowly we see this tchia, this revival, is picking up speed, and is being revealed in all of its the sibas, it's all different ways. It's coming about. It's coming about. And Rav Avner explains, "She'ena tamid niras la'ayin." We don't always see this with our eyes. We don't always see with our eyes. In other words, we see in Eretz Yisrael very often. We see it like it's a separate thing, because we see secular people that a lot of them that they're building up Eretz Yisrael, but it's without the Shem Hashem. But we're going to see the same way that Megillah doesn't have the Shem Hashem. We're going to see afterwards that it was the whole time it really was the Shem Hashem. Just it looks to us now like we don't see the Shem Hashem. The same way when you lay in the Megillah, you don't see the Shem Hashem. But after you finish the story, you say, "Wow, that was Hashem." It was all Hashem. Alai rehein murkavas mimahalchim historium upolitium misubochim umufutalim. What we see before our eyes, all interesting historical, political sibuchim, all complicated political, social, historical things going on right now, but really, really, just like it was in Shushan. That's exactly what's happening in Shushan. But really, underneath it all, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's being worked out. Mitzvah will come back next year. We'll do the note 574. HaChuzei Zu B'Zu B'Toyer Shal Sheles G'doy La'Aruch. Just like by the Megillah, everything is like a chain where all the links are bound one to the other. So you look at something, you see it looks like it's just a political thing. It looks like it's something that's not Hashem. No, it's all a Shal Sheles. Achuzas, all the links are bound one to the other. A big chain, a long chain. A long and wondrous chain. Where everything is connected, just like in the Megillah. The Maase in the Megillah took place over 13 years, right? And when you look at it, you read the story. And if you were living in Shushan, you would have been talking politics the whole time. Every Shabbos when Jews came back, they were talking about like what's going on. Like, you know, stuff in the court and what's happening and what's going to be. They were talking about, you know, you're pro-Bibi, you're against Bibi. Except he was mislabish to say, you're pro-Mordechai, against Mordechai. There were Jews that were against Mordechai, right? So who are you? You're in this party, you're in that party. All kinds of things. What do you think Jews are talking about Shabbos? I was talking about Shabbos, all the things that are going on. And then there'd be some tzaddik who was saying, this rabbi say this, all the Rebbein Shalom say, look who's talking over here now. This is all the Rebbein Shalom. This is big sincerity, Achashverosh, Haman. What are you talking about? Mordechai is a fanatic, he's a kanoi, some kind of kanoi. And the tzaddik is saying, this is all the Rebbein Shalom. He's saying, even Achashverosh, really, behind him is Hashem. What are you talking such things to say? That Achashverosh is Hashem. How can you talk like that? Talk like that. What do you think it was like in Shushan? It's just like with us, the same thing. The same thing. It wasn't different. But the truth is, Rav Kook is saying, "Achuz zub zub zutoy shal shel gedol aruch mesubach v'neflo hatchia morkeves mi ma'arag shel iruim gedolim." Rav Avner explains that the tchia, the revival that we're now living, we're zoichet to live now, is all a tapestry. A ma'arag is like a tapestry. It's all a tapestry of iruim gedolim, of amazing big things that are going on. Aruchim subochim v'nifloim, long and complicated. You know, we measure time. We can only measure by our perspective of the years that we have. We don't see that right now. There are some people that they don't see right now when you're living as a hemshich, let's say, of the Holocaust. If you're an American, and you're, especially if your parents are not survivors, you don't see yourself as a hemshich of the Holocaust. You see yourself as an American. You're born, you're born in Brooklyn or in Queens or the, I don't know if anybody was ever born in the Five Towns, but you were born, back then, but you're born, now people are born, but then there weren't so many. So you're born in Brooklyn or in Queens someplace, and you see yourself as being the Bronx. I'm not going to Staten Island, the Bronx. And you were born someplace over here. That's how you see yourself. I never see myself in that way at all, even though I was born in Queens. I see myself as a person that's noch the Holocaust. I see my life as a hemshach of the Holocaust. That's the reality that I was born into. Everybody has their own reality that you were born into. But if you don't see yourself as a hemshach, it's because you have your couple of years and you get focused on those couple of years and so those are your years. So a person says, how could it, this is already taking such a long time. From 1945, when the war was over, until 2019, it feels to us like 1,000 years, but it's not. Everything is connected, one thing to the other. What's happening in our lives right now is a hemshech. It's not only a hemshech of the Holocaust, it's a hemshech of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a hemshech of Golos and Beis HaMikdash, it's a hemshech of Moshe Kibbul Torah Mesinai. It's all a hemshech. There's nothing that's broken, nothing that's separated. Everything is a hemshech. Mamash a hemshech. One of the things that you see now with the kids that they're growing up is they don't feel any hemshech. It's a scary thing. It's one of the things because when I grew up, all of my teachers were, you felt that they were hemshech of something. Now you don't feel like that. They don't feel like the kids feel the same as their teachers, just younger. It's a new thing like that. I didn't feel that about my teachers. I felt that I was a hemshech, that they were a hemshech of something. I remember when I was by Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I was by Yosef Beer, that he was upset because they were saying things in the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim, and he took out some papers, old papers, and he said, this is Reb Chaim's handwriting. This is what Reb Chaim said. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, that's Reb Chaim. His hand was on that paper. Reb Chaim was on that paper. Wow. But the teachers nowadays, there is a hemshech, but the kids don't feel that. They don't feel that hemshech, that histalshlus of the chain. It's a very, very bad thing. It's very hard to do that. If you don't feel it yourself, it's very hard to give it to your kids. If you don't feel that yourself, that you're a hemshech of something, it's very hard to give you your kids. That's why you could have people that the Yiddishkeit is like was made in China in 2019. You have people, like religious people, they come up with new things like, that why can't you have a lady rabbi, yeah? So they're arguing back and forth. I don't mean this as any insult. If it was possible, you'd all get smicha. But it's not possible. But when I say that, I'm not talking about getting into a conversation about it. I'm not talking about getting into a conversation. I'm not talking about talking in the halacha of it. I'm talking about Yiddishkeit was not made in Woodmere in 2019. You understand? It wasn't made not in Woodmere. It wasn't made in Riverdale. It wasn't made in Manhattan. Yiddishkeit wasn't made. There's a hemshech. But if you think that it was made here, so there's no hemshech. So you could consider yourself some halachic Jew, but you don't have like Ramat was talking about on Monday night. But you don't have your pesel, a tzelem, a garnish. You look like you're an observant Jew, but you don't. You're not. There's no hemshech. There's nothing. You're not part of that chain. Chas v'shalom. So what Rav Kook is saying that there's a tapestry. Yiddishkeit is it's a complicated shalshelas gedola. Shalshelas gedola. It's a wondrous thing. Shakol eila hinam be'emes miploys tmim deim from the perfect one of who knows. Who knows how to connect each thing with every other thing? That's what Megillas Esther is all about, and that's what our lives are about. That's why I mentioned to you when I was last week. I was saying that, and Yeshiva was talking about this. That when the Tsar Shalom was a young man, he came to Purim night by the Chayzer from Lublin, and people didn't know who he was, and the Chayzer had looked, and the Chayzer saw him there, the Tsar Shalom, and the Chayzer said to him, "You come here and you read the Megillah, right? I called last week. You come read the Megillah." They didn't know who he was. And the Chayzer said, "Read the Megillah." And he got up in front of the whole Tzibur and he lay in the Megillah. And the whole time the Chayzer is jumping and crying. He's going out of his gale. And it was just Megillah's Esther, you know. So they asked the Chayzer afterwards, what was the Inyan? What was he so excited about? So the Chayzer said that I've heard this story many, many times, but I never heard anybody tell it the way this young man tells it. I never heard anybody tell the story this way. What does that mean? I mean, the Chayzer, he had all kinds of kavanas, but what could we understand from such a thing? Is that he was saying that when the Tsar Shalom was reading the Megillah, he wasn't reading the Maisa that happened back in Shushan. He was reading it like Mamish now. Like Rabbi Nachman says, in the last Torah, how you say Tillim. Mamish now. It's happening to you right now. That's how you say the Megillah, like it's happening to you now. He's living in it. He sees himself as a Hemshech of Mordechai, of Shushan, of Esther. It's not a Maisa Shahaya and I'm detached from it. It's a Stalshlis of my life. Right now, I'm living Purim. Right now, I'm in Purim. It's not something that happened a long time ago. I'm living mamish this second in Purim, in Shushan. I'm living right now in this world. Therefore, we have to take secular Zionism. We have to inject it with the soul, with the neshama. He said, secular Zionism is dead, it's cold, it's nothing. Let me see it. But it is nothing. It's nothing, secular Zionism. Rav Kook said it has to be injected with the Nishmas Yisrael. The Nishmas from his Torah, with Torah Shabbat Peh, with Torah Mitzvahs. And that's the Tchir, that's the revival of Eretz Yisrael. That the diplomacy, the politics, the economics should all be with Nishmas Yisrael. Kadesh Yitir Ru'iyah Be'emes L'shma. That it should be worthy of its name. It's a beautiful name. Tzionut, Tzionis, Zionism, Har Tzion Yerushalayim. It's a beautiful name. But it's not worthy of that name. Unless it has a Nishmas Yisrael, or else what? How different it is than for American or British, whatever. What's the difference? Tzionut, Tzionis, it only has the Shem Hashem if it's infused with Torah Mitzvahs. Then it's worthy of its name. And to tell the whole world that the Makar, the root and the source of Tzionis, is not nationalism. It's not patriotism. It's not man made. It's not 2019. It comes from Hamakar Kodesh Elyon. That's why you see that the who are the Jews, primarily the Jews that are going back now in Aliyat Eretz Yisrael. I don't know the numbers, but from what I heard, it's something like 80%. I don't know the exact numbers, but something like 80-90% of the Jews that go to Eretz Yisrael to live are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Our Jews are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. We understand that because the Indian of secular Zionism is cold and it's dry and it's without the Shem Hashem and it can't last. It fizzles out, which is a huge problem with the soldiers, because the secular soldiers, many of them don't feel like what they don't know what they're fighting for anymore. So what do? They take the secular soldiers back. They take them to go to Auschwitz and to go to Poland on a trip, right? And then they tell them, "Chaver, this is what you're fighting for." That I told you that when I was there the first time when I was in Poland. And I was in the tower there in Auschwitz, and I was looking out there, and all of a sudden I heard singing, and I looked down, there were like 200, 300 soldiers, guys and girls, Israeli soldiers, that were singing, "Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai." And I ran down there to go march with them. And I was talking then to one of the chevra, and I said, "Atam evin maze Am Yisrael Chai, Am Yisrael Chai, mazat amed Am Yisrael Chai." He said, "Ani Yehudi, ani chelak mehasson." I said, "Ata Yehudi, ati azeh mazliot Yehudi, mazliot Yehudi." So Am Yisrael Chai, Od Avinu Chai, Mazel Od Avinu Chai, Mazel Od Avinu Chai. So they want them to know, what are you fighting for, Chaver? Because the old generation, they didn't need that. They were still close to us. They knew what they were fighting for. But the kids that grow up now in Israel, they don't know, what am I fighting for? Stan patriotism. It's better to go to move to North Woodmere. When I get to clapped and sahakt all the time, every time with going to war. It's hard. If you don't know what you're fighting for. If you know what you're fighting for, it's something else. Hashem as well should help us to know what we're fighting for.